From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Genevieve Abdo was our latest guest in our series, What Have We Learned Since September 11th, 2001? And we're not done with this series yet. We'll continue to devote some of our program to it between now and next Monday, the fifth anniversary. And we want to know what you have learned since 9/11. What have you learned about your country, your religion, whatever it may be, about yourself as an individual, about the rest of the world? What have you learned that has confirmed your beliefs and assumptions about things? And what have you learned that has shaken them? We want to know what you have learned that's important in the 5 years since September 11th. Email us, and we will read some of these emails on the air as the week goes on and post some on our blog. Email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Brian with an I, L-E-H-R-E-R, show, one word, at WNYC.org. Thank you very much for your participation in this program, in this public square. If you're just back in town from summer vacation, your eyes may be lighting up today from seeing street art again, or you may be grossed out by what looks to you like vandalism or desecration. For some, graffiti is even a serious crime, so serious that earlier this year, New York City Councilmember Peter Vallone Jr. successfully passed a law that made it illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to even possess spray paint or permanent markers. But for others, graffiti is a serious art form that has a place not just in the streets, but also in galleries and museums. By the way, a court, at least temporarily, has put an injunction on that law. So I guess people under 21 still can possess spray paint or permanent markers without going to jail. But joining me now are three guests. Lady Pink, a pioneer and graffiti artist whose work was recently featured in an exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum. The street artist Hope 169. And Time Out New York photographer Serena Finkelstein, who did this week's cover story on street art and graffiti. Welcome all three of you to the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much. Hi.
And Serena, let me start with you. The debate about graffiti and other street art is old, but your Time Out New York cover is new. What's new in New York street art?
Well, while I was photographing this, we tried to touch on a number of different approaches to street art, everything from art that is technically qualified as graffiti, so it is sort of illegal and vandalistic in nature, to commissioned works, Damien Hirst's sculpture in Leverhulme Courtyard. We touched on spaces like Five Points, which are art directed by graffiti artists for graffiti artists. We also discussed the temporal nature of some graffiti artists working today, such as LSG, who works in chalk. He does chalk outlines of objects on the street via lamplight at night.
And the rain comes and the art is gone.
Yeah, exactly. And I also followed out the Graffiti Research Lab. They've been doing what they call light projection bombing on buildings, where they take two projectors and they set them up and point them at flat sides of buildings and project graffiti tags being made. Obviously, they take away the projectors after they're done and the graffiti's gone. So what exactly qualifies as graffiti and as street art?
And by the way, we have a link on our webpage to the timeout slideshow of Serena's photograph. So if you want a link to that, you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Lady Pink, Hope 169, let me bring you into this. You've been at this, Lady Pink, in your case, since the 70s, and Hope 169 since the late 80s. Does anything characterize street art today to you? Is there something that's, you know, kind of the 2006 style or statement or set of images. Hope, you want to go first?
Thank you. Just want to say that, first of all, there's a really strong difference between street art, which also includes graffiti, and then there's also the movement of writing. Writing is when you actually take one name and you actually are pushing that name. That's some movement that I was a little more a part of. I just want to say that I think that there will always be street art, and I always think that there needs to be this movement where it's an art for artists and for people, and it comes from the street, and it gives people a voice. I think that it's always been a part of history as a way to express yourself and express what needs to be said. This was true all the way back in ancient Rome when art needed to be said about what it needed to go against for what was something that was either happening to the people or about the government. And I think that we're now taking it into new forms and new places, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
Lady Pink, want to respond?
Well, I agree with Hope very much that it's a part of human nature to want to create, to want to stylize and you know, control our environment the way that we want to see it. Back in the 70s and 80s, we took it on the subway trains with spray paint, but that era is long gone, and spray paint is only one of the tools that is being used today. I'm really excited to see that street art is growing. It isn't just graffiti putting their names up, but people are using mosaics, and they're welding metal, and they're cementing things, and they're twisting, you know, the street signs into shapes of hearts and doing all kinds of amazing things. And
so maybe we'll have a law where people under 21 can't own welding equipment.
And etching acid and all kinds of things. But wait until they have lasers for us, then they're going to be in trouble.
You were one of the pioneers. Where did this art form come from for you? Social concerns, just something to do, hip-hop culture? How do you trace it?
I trace it back to, I think, the hippie generation of the 60s, where young people learned to express themselves loudly and colorfully. And when New York was going through chaos of the 1970s and it looked like, you know, everything was down, I think that the graffiti writers and the bit of color coming on the subway trains was the heartbeat of New York. It showed that, you know, we weren't down, and it continued that way. And it was done by children. We were all teenagers. We did it for fun, for the adventure, for the sake of being cool. I don't think we were trying to make a social statement. It was just something to do.
And yet, at least the voluminous spray painting of the subways is looked back on as kind of a bad old days of a subway system in decline, and great lengths have been gone to make sure that doesn't happen again, and different materials are used in the subway cars and everything else. Do you have any regrets about that era as somehow, you know, while being expressive and fun and optimistic in a way, also vandalizing and making things look ugly and run down to a lot of people?
I don't really have any regrets of that. There's a lot of eras in New York that have long passed, and we nostalgically miss that. It is now nationwide on the freight trains, so graffiti is alive and well on steel of wheels, that we call them. But in the streets of New York, yes, it is a hideous offense, and I'm glad that the judge has put a leash on Peter Vallone and young people can express themselves freely again. I'm afraid that graffiti and street art, public art, that is our only forum for free speech now.
Hope 169, where'd your tag come from?
I met... when I first started off, I had several tags, and I was trying out different things. I was just what we call a toy, just running around trying to scribble on things, and I'm happy to admit that.
And what'd you do? You scribbled Hope 169 on things?
I scribbled several names, and then I actually met someone named Hope, and I thought it was just such a wonderful, powerful name. I just was blown away by the sheer ode to optimism that it carried. 169 is the street I grew up on, which is a common number to attach. A lot of graffiti artists attach to their name. For me personally, it just means literally that it's my own ode to optimism. I sometimes feel that I need a little extra help every once in a while to hold my head up high. And, you know, I feel like sometimes living in New York, the city can just sort of beat you down a little bit. And I always felt that to see the word hope somewhere is a powerful image. It was something that I did for myself. And it was wonderful to find out from other people that it meant something to them, too. And sometimes even when when I've done pieces in people's neighborhoods and they've talked to me about it later on, they say, wow, thank you for doing that. That really brightened my day to walk past that.
Listeners, other street artists, other listeners, sound off on street art, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, as we continue with Lady Pink, Hope 169, and Serena Finkelstein, photographer for Time Out New York. If you see Time Out on the newsstands today, street art is is the cover story, as described, an exclusive tour of the free Alfresco Gallery that is New York City. And if you want to see their online slideshow of her work, we have linked to it from our webpage, so you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Hope, since you've been writing since the late 80s, do you think the purpose...
More 90s. I started in 89 as scribbling, but yeah, I really painted in the 90s.
Well, do you think the purpose of graffiti in recent years has changed? Is there more emphasis, for example, on the ad-busting role of graffiti as public space becomes more commercialized with commercial images?
Well, I think that this is a really important thing. It depends on which debate you want to argue. We're not going to get into is it legal. We're not going to get into is it art. But I think when people come to us and talk about the visual offense, or they say that this is just an assault on me, just visually, that I don't have any clean white space to look at. One of the arguments graffiti artists always say is, well, what about all the advertising? You know, if we're only a short ways away before we start putting actual advertisements on the outside of subway trains, which will be a complete return to graffiti and what it was. Now, of course, the MTA's argument, we had a symposium on it back in 1996, I remember, at the Museum of New York, and we sat down with some MTA officials, and they were saying, well, you can't compare the two. We get money for that. Well, okay, but speaking as the strap hanger, you know, it's the same visual assault.
Serena, what did you see when you were photographing for this?
In the subways in general, or like all over the city? I saw just a fantastic variety. I mean, there's Lido, who tags along in Williamsburg on a lot of construction fencing. There's AV1, who's famous throughout the graffiti community for tagging, and actually was arrested recently for tagging, and the Graffiti Research Lab is working to protest that. There's, Five Points was my favorite place to photograph, just because there's taggers there every weekend working. Just a variety of stuff. Street art in general, Mark Jenkins does some installation work along the street corners in Williamsburg and in D.C., where he creates these human sculptures out of tape, and the one that's featured in the magazine is an overturned person with his legs sticking out of a trash can.
So there are different media all the time.
Definitely.
Linda
definitely.
In Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. I'm writing because we have an interesting thing across the street from us. We had an area where it's used industrially, and kids hopped the fence one day, broke in, spray painted all over the trucks the word havoc. So I guess that would be the writing that Hope 169 spoke of. And I didn't find anything aesthetically pleasing about it. And it cost the owner of the trucks time and money when he had to have their guys do that. But meanwhile, the owner of that building also is open enough to say to someone else down the street that who wanted to put up a mural, and he allowed that. So it's this interesting fine line between trashing something and then creating a mural across the street that I'm going to be happy to look at every day. But when I saw that these kids had, you know, ruined his property, I thought, well, here's a guy who's trying to do something right.
Same guy who let them do it, who gave them a wall for a mural. Hope 169, do you see that same moral distinction?
Well, without a doubt, we are dealing with a difference between a legal piece and an illegal piece. It depends on how you want me to comment. I mean, as an artist, I think they're both important, and I think they're both fantastic. As a writer, of course, we appreciate the illegal work so much more than the legal pieces. To us, that's an actual risk that we take, that we just love the rush of. Where else? I'm not sure.
But that's it? You're only going to say positive things about breaking in and writing havoc over somebody's whole truck fleet?
Well, I think it's fantastic that he wanted then to let somebody else paint on the other truck and bring someone in on it legally. Yeah. As far as, is it art? I mean, you know, art is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, sometimes I look at a wall that is just covered in tags and throw-ups, and I see it as a beautiful collage that was a group effort to create. That's the way I see it. And I perfectly mm-hmm. understand, and I appreciate that to some people, this is really hard for them.
Lady Pink, on another question, the very forces that some graffiti opposes, like corporatization and commercialization of images, have in some cases co-opted graffiti for their own purposes. Radiohead uses graffiti artists to promote their albums. Howard Dean had a graffiti backdrop at a rally in Bryant Park while campaigning for president in 2003. Do these mainstream uses of graffiti validate it in a way, or do you hate to see the corporate enemy, when it is the corporate enemy, use your art form?
Well, I have been working for the corporate enemy for many years. They have been using graffiti as their backdrops, as their product logos for many, many years. And I think that if graffiti writers are going to grow up and join the workforce, they have to do what they love. And doing what they want for money is absolutely not selling out. And if we can maintain the integrity of our style rather than let some graphic designers and college-educated artists come out and completely destroy our stuff, I think it's good that we can work for them and take them for what they're willing to give, and I see absolutely no problem with it. Now, to answer that woman, Linda, just a little while ago,
uh-huh.
shouldn't she just be, like, happy that those Havoc was out there just, expressing himself with a little bit of paint instead of wrecking real Havoc by breaking windows and smashing the truck and ripping it open and robbing it?
So you
it's
wanted
just a little
to
bit
say,
of paint. Good heavens, let these kids, sow some wild oats.
Yeah, so you want that truck fleet owner to say thank you for vandalizing my trucks rather than breaking my windows?
No, absolutely not. Just get better security. I'm also a building owner, and I have to clean graffiti off my front of my building all the time. But I'm happy that they were just out there with a little bit of paint and marker and not breaking my windows or in breaking into my house.
Joseph in
or
Manhattan.
Or mugging some old lady, you know?
Joseph, you're on WNYC.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I'd like to know if the two commentators are making a distinction between sketching and actual graffiti art. Sketching is what I understand to sometimes be when a vandal would just invade private property and sketch their own name either with a key or a marker, sort of like a bear marking their territory in the woods, whereas actual graffiti art is, I believe, a reputable art form.
Hope, 20 seconds.
We appreciate both. Like I said, I'm sorry, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder. To us, the bombing is a part of our community, and that's something that, for us, it was always about going against the system, which is another really quick thing I just want to touch on, is that a lot of the true writers, we never touch places of worship. We never touch people's homes. We don't touch people's private cars. Mm-hmm. There are ethics, and we have a tremendous level of respect for each other. If you want to cross people out, things like that.
Serena Finkelstein, last 10 seconds. After your citywide tour, where are the best places to see street art in New York?
Best places, definitely all around Williamsburg. Definitely if you go to Five Points in Long Island City, which is so easy. You just take the 7 train right out there. Where else? Soho and down in Canal area.
And the South Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Pink in the Bronx, Hope 169 in Manhattan, Serena Finkelstein, photographer for Time Out, their street art edition still on the newsstands today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org, and thanks.